Okay.
Okay, good.
Okay, let's get going. Can we turn to Hebrews 11, 39, and 40? We were down at the conference, and they were asking, what would we like them to do a study on? And that's been about 8 years ago, I think. And I asked them to go a little deeper into this verse through the Bible. They did some Hebrews and showed it through the book of Hebrews, but I wanted it a little deeper. So I've been working on this for quite a while, and so here we go. Hope you're ready. In verse 11:39, it says, "In all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." So this, in Hebrews 11, it's talking about all these saints through time. In verse 11, talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, parents of Moses, and then it goes through all these other guys. And what do we have that is better than all these other saints? What is within Hebrews? It's talking about eternal life. It's talking about better access to your position than they did. We can talk to God at any time, but what I come around to is in their present tense, how do they live? And this has been a tough study. I was surprised where I started finding their present tense was two signs and wonders. So let's go to John 1:17. Start. It talked about Abraham in Hebrews 11. And in John, it has another division. For the law was given through Moses, but the grace and the truth came through Jesus Christ. So here it's saying that God brought something different, but there is one problem. When did he bring the grace and truth? When did that start? We have in, if you jump to Galatians, I don't think I have that written. Yeah, I do. In Galatians 4, like to show you from scripture because it's not me. Galatians 4, verse 5. Well, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law. So when Jesus Christ came, he was born under law. And when he, I guess is when he died, I didn't find a verse for this, that when he fulfilled the law is when he died on the cross, fulfilling all the prophecies, and would be my guess. I'm not sure. So if we go to Deuteronomy 34:10, flip there. We saw in 1 John 1:17 that Moses brought the law. So in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10 and 11, but since then, there was not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all the servants, and in all his land. So the law, notice Moses brought signs and wonders. God used it prior a few times, but he's making a big statement here. He's really going to use them. So, but with John 1:17, he brought forth law. So they really come together. They're really tied in. Oh boy, where to go now? Oh, I want to do this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:16. I'm going to be contrasting a lot of stuff tonight, so 2 Corinthians 5. Moses saw him face to face, as well as Enoch in Hebrews 11. And it says that we have a better salvation down in 39 and 40. So what is this face to face? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, we have, it doesn't say face to face, but it's talking about the apostles here, I believe. But, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. So what is our relationship? It's not face to face, flesh to flesh. Let's go to Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, he is not his. This is important. It's very important. In John 4:24 it says, if you don't worship in the Spirit, it's not by God's will. You're out of God's will if you don't worship by the Spirit. I'm not going to go into that, but this is pretty locked down here. So we have a different relationship than face-to-face. One example. Okay, next. Oh, I'm 34. Jump back to 34:10. There's something I missed here in verse 12. I forgot to finish verse 12. Deuteronomy 34:12. My notes have it, but I jumped past it. In 34:12 it says, and by all that mighty power and all that great terror which Moses performed in the sight of Israel. What's that terror? What is terror? Another word for terror. Fear. It's fear. So let's look at First John 4:18. Well, let's go to John 16:11 first. To be saved, you gotta have a little fear, because let's go to 16:7-11. We'll go real quick here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And if you follow him, you'll be judged. So a little bit of fear involved with that. I know when I got saved, I was going, man, I don't want to go there. And that was God, you know, Holy Spirit working on you. You go, you know, a little bit. But the big thing that's different from us to the Old Testament believers is this one in 1 John 4:18. Let's jump there. You can do a word study on fear, and in the Old Testament, it was what drove them. And I'll have another verse later to connect how the signs and wonders was to help control their flesh. I misplaced it somewhere in this, if I have it still on there. 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment or punishment. But he who fears has not been made mature in love. Why is that important? We got to go back to Galatians 4. Jump to Galatians 4. We'll go to verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ that much to a slave, though he is a future master of all. Because that's saying that the kid's going to probably inherit from the father, you know, get it all. Usually a kid's going, yeah. So, but is under guardians and stewards. Who are guardians and stewards? Well, it is the law, but in this kind of frame, you'd be talking someone that held you by the hands and you're going here. A teacher. And you can't run off. They're like, but I want to go play. No, you're coming here to study. So they're making sure until the time of appointment by the father, upgrading them. Time for you to learn some more things or to mature. Even so, we, when we were children, were under bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the maturation of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into the hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So now you're not... God's saying, you're the boss man now. So, what's the advantage of that? Well, you get to make decisions on your own. You get to fall down and the boss man ain't saying, stop! You can't jump off that stair. Now, see, I got to decide, am I going to jump or am I going to go down the stairs? Well, that's a little one. But if you get on a cliff, your daddy's not going to be there to tell you, no! It's time for you to walk on your own. Use your brain. Should I do that? And if you do something, the consequences come hit you. You know, the law, they still came and hit you. But they were hitting you before it happened sometimes. But they weren't, the law was always there. No, no, no. It's always a no, no. And with any no-no, what happens? What does no-nos create? I want to. That's in Romans 3. Romans 3. 20. For therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be made righteous in his sight. For by the law is the full experiential knowledge of sin. The law brought this out. Why do we want to go back to that? There are a lot of churches that teach law. Whether they teach in Genesis through Malachi or Matthew through John, they like to go to law. Sometimes it's millennial kingdom law or Old Testament law, but they're both law. And both will what? Drive your sin nature. And you can't mature under that, which we'll get to later on. Okay, the first, we're going to draw from signs. We're dealing with country. Well, I want to hit one verse. Dealing with the countries, let's go to Romans 9. I think this is, I have some, but I couldn't really, I want to hit it slightly. Romans 9:18. I think this verse really connects to this when it's dealing with other countries. Because during the Old Testament, God was dealing with who? Israel. That's Ephesians 2:11. It talks about how the Gentiles had no hope unless you became a Jew. Now, they became a proselyte, but they had they could be saved, but they couldn't have the full privileges as a real Jew. But as the countries, dealing with countries, Romans 9:18, it says, therefore, God has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. Well, every time he dealt with other countries, you can go to Egypt, we can jump, and you have all these things, and it talks about God. Every time he'd do a sign, he'd go, oh man, that's not good. And then he'd go, okay, I'll quit doing it. And then it'd harden his heart after that.
Pharaoh,
yeah. He'd harden his heart. And it talks about this. He has mercy on whom he wants, which is Israel, and he hardens Pharaoh's heart. And he did 10 signs against them, and they were all to their Egyptian gods, and he showed that he was the God. But did they go, he did signs, that must be God. You think Egypt would have said that? But through this, I got to go to the next verse. Go to Matthew 11, I think. Didn't plan on going here right now, but we're going. Uh, 11:20. I have a bunch of nations here. We have Assyria, Babylon. I could probably pick some more, but those are a couple I wanted. But here in Matthew 20, it's Jesus has been doing signs and wonders, and we're going to start reading here. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works, signs and wonders, has been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, can't say the town. Woe to you, can't say that town either. For if the mighty works and signs which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. What is this saying? God knew what it would take to get them to believe. He said this town would have, but they didn't at the time. But if he had done these signs, they would have believed that he was God. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment. No, they didn't even believe then. Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, you know what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? It didn't mention Gomorrah here, but Sodom. It would have remained until this day.
But I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Man, you know what they did in Sodom and Gomorrah? It's some disgusting, immoral things. Up in these other towns, you know, the only thing they really did was deny God. They got to see the signs and wonders. He fed 5,000, I don't know, in that same area. I don't know what they exactly were signs. I don't want to misspeak there. But he did a lot of signs and wonders in different areas. You can read about him through the Gospels. But he says, these signs and wonders, they became a judgment for those who disbelieved. The reason why I hit that, these countries, you read the Minor Prophets, there are judgments for all these countries, and I could probably pick a few more, for their willingness to go in, what is it? The judgment that he had for Israel for disobeying the law. But he's going to judge them for their willingness to go judge them, and they did it even more so. So, in one aspect, he's disciplining Israel. But every time they do something, if Israel does it, they get another sign. They see the sign, and they deny it still. The other country, they'd hear about it. They'd know if they went up against David, he would destroy them. David had the biggest Israel's ever been. Of course, the Six-Day War came pretty close. But God stopped that. Let's jump down to Israel, closer look in part two. Let's go to Exodus 3. Gosh, I'm not going fast enough. I'm going, yeah, but where I want to go, I want to get going faster to get there. Here in Exodus 3, we have the burning bush. He does this to call him out, and he's going, "Oh, you're God." Moses realizes it. We're going quick. Verse 4, then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe." He's telling them, go to Egypt and pull his people out. So we get down to verse 4, 1. "But suppose Pharaoh will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod?' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it." He just did a sign, trying to get him to be confident that God is going to be there with him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." And he reached out his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. "That they may believe that the Lord God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." Furthermore, the Lord said to him, "Now put your hand in your bosom." And he put his hand in his bosom, and he took it out, and behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, "Put your hand in your bosom again," and put his hand in the bosom again, and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. "Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the later sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on that dry land." Three signs, he's telling them. Start off. But let's look at what the next verse is. We're coming down to the part of this present tense here. It says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He's doubting God. He just did these three signs. He's not believing him. He got to see the power of God. And God said, in Hebrews 11:39, I'm going to keep coming to this. It says, we have a greater salvation. Which it goes back to Hebrews 11, which is faith. And it's, what kind of faith is that? Not by sight. We're right there. Let's look at the faith that they had right here in Exodus 4:30. It says, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses, and they did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed. What is sight? What kind of faith is that? What is sight? Hearing, touching.
Your senses.
Your senses. It's your soul. So it's a soulish faith. That Hebrews 11:1, it's a spiritual faith. It's part another thing that's different. It's a big thing. Oh man. Gets me. So let's look at this doubting. He did this, and God allowed him to doubt. He didn't say, buck up. He encouraged him later on. Let's see, how did God deal with it? Please send my hand where I'll send someone else. In verse 13, in 4:13, it says, please send someone else. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He was angry because he just did three signs and he still didn't believe. It's very common in the Old Testament, but they don't. It's fear that drove them. Fear. Let's go to James 1. Let's look at what we have. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its maturing work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. You know, if you doubt, but he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. What is that? You're going to sin. You're going to go, I don't know, God. What should I do? He goes, go do this. But I want to do this. I don't know. I guess I'll go do this. I want to do it. That's what his idea is. God's saying, do this. He's giving it to you generously. But God, I want to sold. You're going to go do this, and you're going to fail. He that is a double-minded, unstable in all his ways, let the lowly brother in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as the flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen from a burning heat than withers grass, its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Happy is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Which shows that there's times when you're sinning, you're not loving God. But is God still faithful? Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that wonderful? I'm off track. I'm going a little off road. Let's go to Ezekiel 16. Not Ezekiel, sorry. Exodus 16. EX 16. Exodus 16:18. I'm going to jump around. So when they measured it by omers, they gathered much. They're talking about manna here. They gathered much, had nothing left over. He who gathered little had no lack. Every man that gathered according to each one's need. They were supposed to every day pick just what they needed for the day, except on Saturday because it's Sabbath. And they picked two times because God would send more. But if they decided to not believe and take more, what would happen? It'd rot. Oh man, it stinks now. It wouldn't be good. Worms everywhere. Who wants worms in their house? You know? But that's more cleaning, huh? Verse 20, notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left a part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. That'd teach you, right? A stank that's help your soul. I don't want to do that again, you know? And then, where are we going? 22, and so it was, on the sixth day, they would gather twice as much as bread. How to do it. Let's go to John. John 6:30. Let's go, go, go. Faster, faster. Let's see. Therefore, they said to him, what sign will you perform when that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For that bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. What is he talking about here? He was giving them physical food to eat. Physical food. In this life, who doesn't like free food? Everyone lines up down here at the food bank. They get free WIC, free food stamps. Everyone that can get it usually goes gets it. But what's God giving here? What is this? He's talking about life to the world. Let's keep reading. And then he said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to him, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Is he talking about food here or something else? It's different. It's different than what they had. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. That's big there. He's been doing signs left and right, and they knew he did them. They're coming. Show us some more signs. You don't believe me. I keep doing them. You don't believe me. We saw in Matthew 11, they're going to receive more judgment because they don't believe in him. And all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Why? The ones that's his inheritance, it says in Ephesians. You are an inheritance of his, a promise. For him going up to the cross, you're his inheritance. Think about that. This dirt. And God's doing that for us, this dirt. That's what we are, dirt. Wow. But this really... Let's see. Let's keep going to verse 4. Jump to verse 40. Well, no, I want to finish 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I shall lose nothing. Man, that's so... Isn't that awesome? Everything that he's given him, that's us. That is election. He will lose no one. Don't matter. God doesn't want you to sin, but he's not going to lose you if you do. That's grace. but should raise it up at the last day. Some people like to focus, I don't know if this is, I think this is beginning of, this is talking on the last day of Christ, more than, I think this is relating to the rapture, not the last day of, you know, this is talking. But verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I will raise him up in that last day. It's a promise right here. With the Old Testament, he gave them bread, manna. And I do think it's relating to, they were promised eternal life. When do we get our eternal life? Today. Let's go to 1 John 5. In John 6, it's looking forward to it because in the process of that, there's still, this is a back view of after the church. John was written after the cross, looking back and writing some stuff, but it's a lot of New Testament information there. But in 1 John, okay, now I got lost in my head. Sorry.
11.
Huh?
I think you wanted 11.
Yeah, 1 John 11. No, I lost my track of what I was talking about while I was turning. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life right now. And this is life is in his Son. As soon as you believe, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Holy Spirit is given to you upon salvation. Or in early Acts, that wasn't the case right away, but that was during the transition. We don't have time to go through that. And that's not part of the science we're looking at. So we're going to try to stay on track. Let's look at Daniel. Let's look more a little bit on the Jews on eternal life when they get theirs. Daniel 12. Gosh darn it. I'm not going to get through the first page. And 12:2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to eternal life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. These are two different events. One's at the sheep and goat resurrection, which is in Matthew 25, I think. And the other one is at in Revelation 20:11-15. So it's two different resurrections. But one is talking about some people have everlasting, but this is eternal life. So when you jump to verse 11, 12, and 13, it tells you when they get it, and it connects to the time where he saves the Jews. I don't know. It's connected to it, but it's a little bit after the fact, because he saves a whole bunch of Jews according to, what's the verse? Romans 11:25, the mystery of, what's that mystery? I'm going blank. The blindness of Israel. It's connected to that, but it's a little bit after the fact for their eternal life, because we have the days here. 1,290 days, which is the 3.5 years is 1,260 days. So there's 30 days more somehow, and I can't remember detail it to talk it out quick. But they are waiting 45 more days after that to receive their eternal life. They have to wait. They believe back then, they die, and then they get it. They go through the tribulation. Everyone that has eternal life is raptured, and everyone that lives through there and believes, they get it after the great tribulation. They have to go through the mourning. They don't have the happy hope. They get to mourn. But they're still focused. They're waiting, looking, but they're mourning. There's going to be a lot of people they know that will die miserably. Some of them, they wish they'd die, and they have to wait to die. You know, it's not pleasant. Faster, faster, faster. I'm skipping so many verses. It's fun to go through. Kingdom. Not going to hit that. Ezekiel 17. Or Exodus, sorry. I keep wanting to say Ezekiel, sorry. There's a lot of signs in here, so it's a little easier to find. I'd like to go through more of them, but... 17, 5 and 6. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Before, I will stand before you, and there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it. Have you ever taken a stick and hit the rock and water come out? Wouldn't that be nice? Especially around here. All the farmers would be taking sticks, whack, whack, water, woo! You know, it's probably more in the Palouse, but... I find it interesting. It really doesn't say it's a sign here, but I connect it to some things because of just some, you know, the rock and the water. And the people, what did they do when God gave them water? He did that. That's a sign. He's given. You're thirsty. Here you are. Then they go, thank you, God. Like we're supposed to when we've been in tough time. We're going, thank you. Why did you give us water? They weren't thankful. They're complaining the whole time. You're not good, God. I think Moses got in trouble somewhere along here, but I did study that out. Something connect with this. Is John 4:10, I think. And actually, no, John 6. I want to connect here. This is might be a little stretch, but I. No, I read that one already. Sorry. Not that one. Oh, boy. Where was I looking for? It's 37. On this last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood out and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. A little bit different than the other. But who's the rock? Jesus is the perpetual rock. The foundation. And the cornerstone. So, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's once again going to eternal life. That's the Holy Spirit working out, if you're maturing, of course. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit has not been yet given because Jesus has not yet been glorified. But the part that God says in... 2 Corinthians 3:3, which is kind of cool, and it's important, because all us Christians are at different levels, right? Shoot, I lost the verse. 2 Corinthians 3:3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh that is of the heart. Sometimes this heart is a little stony, huh? Who does the drilling? Holy Spirit. We saw that in John 16. Sometimes we're stubborn. The only person that's going to break through, the Holy Spirit, if he's meant to. He's the one that kicks Satan out of the way. Satan's the one that covers you, what is it? An unbeliever, blindness, but it also can blind a carnal Christian. There's blindness to Christian and blindness to the other. When they're carnal, they're under a satanic attack and they're holding on to something that's not true. And they're holding on. All they have to do is let go and say that's not true. But what happens? They stay there. We have a brother in Christ that's that way. I still pray for him, but he's got to let go. That's Genesis 17:11. Gotta go faster. And you shall be circumcised in your flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between God and the Jews. It's not us. It's the Jews, the children of Israel. Let's look at us. Colossians 2:11. I warned you that we'd be jumping back and forth. And we're almost to the bottom of the first page. After an hour almost. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It's without hands. In the Old Testament, could they do circumcision without their hands? It's kind of hard to handle a knife that way, huh? God's doing this in your brain. He's doing that. Let's look at, you can go to Romans 6, but let's go Philippians 3. I can't remember what that is, so why not? We're close. Philippians 3, 2 and 3. Did I write that one down? Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. We do sports, we go, yeah, that's my flesh. Look, I can run, I can jump. Pretty soon, what happens? Start getting old. No confidence. Let alone anything else. You know, there's a lot of things you do bad in the flesh. But you got the works of the flesh in Galatians. They're not good. Natural things. But not. Usually we overtake them to the extreme. And that's not good. Romans 2:28. See, as in the Jews, they had it was cutting a piece of skin. This is talking about counting yourself dead. That's Romans 6. The others, it's doing something with your mind, but it's counting yourself dead up there too. Romans 2, what is that? I lost track. 2:28. Let's see what that says. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from the men, but from God. A little different. Very different. Oh, this is one of the ones I really want to go to. Yay! Let's go to Exodus 29. This one was, we're going to be in for a while. Okay. I have on the list discipline for not submitting to God's will. We're going to look at this. Here in verse 29, verse 9, we have, you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs. For a perpetual statute, you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. This is God making them what? Priest. He made it clear to all the Jews, these guys, the priesthood comes through Aaron. Which is part of the family of Levi. Let's go to Numbers 26. Well, let's go up in verse 9. The sons of Eliab were, who contended, they contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah. Then they contended against the Lord. They're not submitting to God's thing. What were they? Well, up above, they were basically saying, we should be priests, these guys. In verse 10, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. Then at the company died, then the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign. What was the sign? Don't mess with God. When I say it, it's going to happen. Don't mess with the program. This is my will. Next page. Hey, we made page 2. Let's look. We can go to some government stuff about submission, but let's go to Ephesians 5:17. That's where I want to go. Ephesians. Oh man, my hands are getting tired. Flipping. Working up at the house, my hands hurt from holding on to that wood. Ephesians 5:17. Okay, here it says, therefore, do not be unwise. Which is a really good word to do word study on, Toad. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Are you unwise of God's will? It's going to tell you right after this. Do not be drunk with wine in which is unsaving, but be filled by the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things Would that be difficult when you're really thirsty? Or having a difficult time giving thanks? But this is God's will. It's about keeping your mind, remember? You got to count it yourself dead to sometimes how you feel and go, that's the wrong way of thinking. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Submitting. What did those guys happen to do? They didn't submit to God saying, you're the priest, which we're all priests today, but they were going, we should be over them. We should have the power. And God swallowed them up. What does he do today? Does if someone started saying, Tim shouldn't be the pastor, I should be the pastor, Tim would probably go, okay, go ahead. Unless they were a false teacher, and then he'd rise up and say, no! But does God swallow someone up today? Because we're sons, he goes, well, we'll let you fall down or not. You will learn. As a leader, Tim is, go to 1 Peter 5:3. And this is for husbands too. You're not supposed to put the choke chain on husbands or the pastor or anyone of leadership. It says, verse 3, not be as lords over those who entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. What is being a lord? You got a whip and whipping, you know. In the Old Testament, God was whipping them along a lot of time. You're going here. Psh. Okay. Now, 40 years in the desert. I don't want to be in the desert. You can be, you know, God might have you in the discipline down here. But, and he might even make you sick. According to 1 Corinthians 11:30-32, he may even take you home, like he did to a lot of those Jews. But that was pretty, he said it, they disobeyed, he took them out. It was, he didn't let them, let's let this go on for a while. What's the difference now? What does Tim have, and you have, that helps us submit? We have long suffering if someone doesn't submit. How are you going to act if someone, you want to love someone, you go tell them, hey, you got this problem. And they go, I'm not listening to you. I'm not going to do that. Are you going to go, okay, God, I did what I was, you know, or no, I'm going to get the choke chain. Are you going to rip them and then hurt their feelings? Let God hurt their feelings. God will do it. Be kind. That's tough. Especially when they hurt you. You got to remember to be kind. That's part of that fruit from the Spirit. It's part of love. Because guaranteed, if they're being carnal, Galatians 4:29, we're close. You have this going on. But even as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. If they're being carnal, they're in their flesh. And if you're being spiritual and you go do Galatians 1:6, you're going to be tore up. And you better be relating to your position in Christ if you're going to go love that Christian that is not submitting to his word. It's much different. You see that? He's saying, okay, church, you're sons. Now go love.
Oh boy.
Joy. Sometimes that's tough. In kindness? Do I have to do it in kindness? That's the proper way. Don't mean they'll listen. You're supposed to go, what? Leave. Come on, guys! Come on! You're not supposed to. Showtime! Come on! A little different. That relates to your wives, too. And vice versa. Wives. That's submitting. It's kindness. It goes not trying to bully them, nag them. Oh, where are we? Purpose. Oh, I'm at the 1 hour mark, Josh. Keep going?
That's up to you. I'm good.
Okay. should we jump? Let's look at purpose of signs. I want to do that. I'm going to skip degrees of faith. We kind of hit that. There's some verses you can study on, look at. Judges, signs. I'm going to skip that. Let's go Nehemiah 9:17. Nehemiah before Psalms? Nehemiah 9:17. Verse 10, it says, you showed signs and wonders against Pharaoh. And then it jumps back to 17. They refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. But you are a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. What a great God. But was Israel that great? Neither are we. Neither are we. Psalm 78, if you get a chance, it's a pretty good verse about signs and wonders and the failure of Israel. They had to look back in the past, a lot of it. Sometimes he'd do it right now, but they had to look back to the past. What about us? Let's go to Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What are those things behind us? Could be signs and wonders. Could be some soulish things that you, oh, it's so great to go, whatever, in the past. It can be a lot of things. They can be skeletons in your past, and you hold on to them. It'd be a tough time, and it was no good for you, but you still go, oh man, that's great. What does God say? Look forward to what? There's promise of the rapture. There's promise of, I didn't write any of this down. I wasn't looking, thinking ahead. But there's
14, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
The upward call. You know, being a present tense salvation. But here, let's see, there's rapture, there's some other ones, but I can't think off the top of my head. So, another study for another time for somebody. Did Matthew 11:20 already? We'll jump through, signs bring more judgment, said already that. In John 16:31, John 12:37. They didn't believe, and they plotted to kill him. Because he was resurrected from the dead, I think. Maybe not. Or no, they just plotted to kill him before he was doing signs and wonder. He hadn't risen there yet. Another place. In the Old Testament, according to Matthew 16:7, the Father revealed to them. So with Peter, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that revealed that God was real. It was the Father. I don't think it's much, it's not a greater thing. I think it's just different. I think any time you get salvation, it's good. But there is a difference of who's doing the work. Some verses. Test of the prophets. Let's go there. Deuteronomy 13. In the Old Testament, we had prophets that did signs and wonders. In the New Testament, it was apostles. So, Deuteronomy 13. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and that sign or a wonder comes to pass, in which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after another God, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Why? Oh, they did a sign and wonder. He's given us a warning here for the Old Testament believers. You shall not listen to those words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk with the Lord with your God and fear him and keep his commandments. What was the promise that they walked away? There's a lot of the cursings. You can read it. We might go to that. I don't know. We'll see. I have it in there. But and hold fast to him. But that prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in the order to turn you away from the Lord your God. Do we, if someone's teaching something wrong, do we put them to death today? Are we going to follow every word of the word? And it says, put them to death. Let's go. We don't do that today. Okay, we'll be getting to, maybe we'll get to that, to hit that topic a little bit more. Let's go to Acts 2:43. Kind of speed going now. See, this is cool. With the apostles here, they did, I'll read it. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Once again, fear came with the signs and wonders because it was not normal. They're going, whoa, what kind of power is this? They didn't have an understanding. Second Corinthians 12:12. Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Let's go to Ephesians 2:20. Having been built from the foundations from the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When you start putting down the foundation of a house, do you keep putting up that foundation till you get to the top? Huh, Gordon? Do you do that? Do you stop and let the walls be put up? A little electrical? You know? You don't keep doing it. So that's just not normal, would it? To keep going. He's making a distinction here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Kind of hitting some of this stuff in the New Testament, which is important. Love, 13:8. 1 Corinthians, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether they are tongues, they will cease. That's the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecies. Whether there will be knowledge, it will vanish away. Knowledge isn't, it's a gift of knowledge, not I have knowledge. People like to think it's just their human wisdom. But when that which is perfected has come, then that which is part will be done away with. When I was a child, when were we a child? According to Galatians, we were children. People, the law had guardian, and you were a child, and he led you. What are we now? Sons. When I spoke as a child, I understand it as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. Signs and wonders. The law. Why? We have better things. Much better. 2 Peter 2:1. I could go into that a lot. Tim has talked very well on that, but 2 Peter 2:1. I want you to notice, I'm going to exaggerate a word here, but there were also false prophets in the past. Among the people, even as there will be in the future false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. That way of the truth. What did we read in 1 John 1:17? Who brought the truth and grace? Jesus Christ. They're denying him. They're going, I got a better way. Signs and wonders. The law. And they only want to pick certain ones. We can have pig. It's good. But you better wear your Sunday best clothes. Or you can't dance. You know? I don't know. David danced in the Old Testament. I don't know what they think about that. Naked. Legalism. I don't like it. I want to focus. Just jump somewhere. Where's the verse here? I forgot where. Verse. Oh. I want to point out in verse. Verse 19. These guys, the false prophets and false teachers, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. What are they slaves of? Their old sin nature. because they're living under law. For by whom a person is overcome, by him who also is he bought into bondage. For if they, the believer, having escaped the pollutions of this world, through the real experiential knowledge of the Lord and Savior of Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in their old sin nature. And it's worse than before they knew grace. Warning, warning, warning. Is God still faithful? All you have to do is what? 1 John 1:8 through 10. Confess your sins. Jump on my lap. Tell me all about it. What a faithful God. What did he do in the Old Testament? You're not submitting. Done. Why? What was the difference? It's the Spirit. Because they were, what is it? They were in a tribe. They had someone sinning over here. Within their body, similar. Everyone would start doing it. You had to cut it out. Because their soul, everyone's going, oh, I'd like to do that. He'd kill them, and they go, fear, I don't want to do that. That's what it's all about. For verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, how to live it, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. I don't know about that. It'd be a tough time. It's better to be saved and fail than be unsaved and still fail. It's way better. But they're putting an emphasis. It's not going to be pleasant for you if you learn how to live it and then you jump on the naughty train. It's going to be tough times. Where's the place? I like that. Let's go to, is it 1 Peter? I'm going to jump off. I don't have this written down. Let me find it. First Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. Your flesh wars against your soul, your emotions. Even though the soul chose, the chose from your soul is what makes the decision to go to the spirit or the flesh. But when the soul chooses to go to the flesh, the flesh beats up on the soul. Why? It's not a good thing. The spirit, God is good. The flesh is evil. You're going to get hurt. Go to 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with that same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There is suffering if you sin. And some of that is what helps you. There's some fear there. After you go, I don't want that. And it helps you become a little bit more holy. He uses that. I don't want that. The soul has to make realization that is bad. You may have desire it. You go, I don't want that. I got this. It may be hard, but you've experienced the pain. You experience, whether it be emotional, physical, maybe all of it. Maybe mental. Whatever it is, God can do it. Okay, get back on track. What about us? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. Corinthians 5:7. when I first started dating Holly, I had some questions about tongues and stuff, and my dad would, he wouldn't explain much, he'd just go, 2 Corinthians 5:7. So this is my dad's verse that always sticks with me. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, you got Hebrews 11:1 again. What kind of faith do we have? Not by sight. It's faith. So we have a promise for the future, not in the past. Everyone likes to go, God told me. Now I know where to go. Who likes to go, okay, what am I supposed to do today? God's not telling me. Yeah, he has. You haven't been reading your Bible. He's giving you promises. Are you listening? Are you being thankful in your circumstance where he's got you? Are you joyful for the discipline or the opportunities you have in Christ? Are you thankful for him? Or are you going, man, I wish, man, God gave me this gift, but man, that pastor teacher is pretty cool. I prefer that one. God gave you a gift and you're trying to take someone else's gift, you're out of here at God's will. He gives you one gift. You don't desire someone else's gift. You see, what is that dealing with? Is it about knowing your gift or seeing a need and filling it? You don't need to know what gift you have. Are you ready to serve? Different. Very different. For some reason I have John 16. Let's go there. I don't remember. So we'll go there. John 16. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. There's churches that like to put the Holy Spirit up on a pedestal. This is saying, whenever the Holy Spirit comes, he's saying, look at Christ. Don't look at me. Why does the Holy Spirit do that? He does work. But why does he point to Christ? He's doing it because God, he's being told what to do. And he's submitting. We're supposed to submit one another to our spiritual gifts. Not to win your car, no. John 14:26. I did do this. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I don't know why I put that there. It's future things. They're supposed to be looking at future things, and they weren't getting some things God was telling them. They're going, because the Holy Spirit hadn't taken their blindness, even though they had believed, because they hadn't given the Spirit yet to them. But I don't know why I put that there. That happens. John 6:14. Let's look at that. Some of this I don't remember. It's 14. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who has come into the world. Who is this prophet? Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy. They didn't say the Son of God there, but they noticed he was a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. But to know that, I think, I don't know, 18, 15 through 19. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from the brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. And then it talks about the test of the prophets again. But connection, change. Let's flip that. And let's go to page 3. We're going real quick here. I wrote them all down. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 5 locations where the Pharisees are asking. And he asking for a sign. And he goes, you're an evil generation. Adulterous generation seeking a sign, and no sign will given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Matthew 12:39. Matthew 16:4. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. It keeps doing this. Not once, not twice, 5 times. Of course, they're probably talking about the same instance. But if God says it once, that's good. It's gold. It's not like your parents going, have you cleaned your room? Jacob, have you cleaned your room? Jacob, have you cleaned your room? Jacob. He says it once. It better get done, right? But here, he tells him 5 times. He's making a point of this. Signs are going to be no more. We went to Exodus 30. It showed that faith is by sight in the Old Testament. Oh, boy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:22. New Testament. Therefore, tongues are a sign, not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. Tongues are a sign for those who believe, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Okay, signs. Who searches for signs? 1 Corinthians 1:22 states, who searches for signs? Jews. Unbelievers here, connected to Jews. Tongues are for Jews. Why would they quit? God's changing. He sent Paul to the Gentiles. He tried to go to the Jews. We saw in Acts this week on Sunday, he went out of God's will, got thrown in prison for a couple years, didn't get to do much. Out of the will of God, he sets you on the bench. Who likes to be on the bench? No, you don't, Jake. You hate it when you're on the bench. You're going, man, they pulled you out of the game. What did they say? You're out. You're sitting on the bench because we think you got a concussion. You're going, come on, I can play. No one likes to be on the bench. Sometimes. Let's see. Now I'm mixing stuff up here. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3. Some contrast again here. Tim did this study. He took this information. He did a paper on this down at the forum. I took a lot of those from that. 2 Timothy 3, 7, and 8. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who? Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these who resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproving concerning the faith. Who was Jannes and Jambres who resisted Moses? What did they do?
Magicians, counterfeit acts.
And they made what? Small snakes, huh? Out of their rods. And Moses' rod ate their snakes. And they couldn't get their snakes to do the same. Showing that God was more powerful. But what here it's saying they resisted the truth. Now, who gave us the truth? We're going back to John 1:17. He gave us the truth. These guys resist the truth. So they're resisting Jesus. What are they using? Signs and wonders. Danger, danger. Danger, stranger. Right here. Where are we at? Matthew 7:15. I'm sorry, Josh. Beware of false prophets who come to you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Who will know them by their fruits? Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs and thistles? What do they teach? Jump down to verse 21. These guys are righteous guys. These ravenous wolves. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he who has done the will of my Father in heaven. What's that? What's the will of God? Believe. Give God the credit for what he is due. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Is that bad? No, that'd be a good thing. Cast out demons in your name. Is that a bad thing? No, no. And done many wonders, signs and wonders, in your name. What are these? False prophets, remember, in the context. What did Jesus say? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I didn't have a relationship with you. How's that? God knows everything. Did he not know them? It's a relationship. They did not believe in him. So I don't have a relationship with you. They're doing good works. But works aren't going to save you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's the man. He makes the rules. Are you going to do his rules? Believe. I don't want to believe. I want to do it my way. A lot of kids do that. It's childish. God says we're sons, if you believe. But that's positionally. Not down here on earth. When you believe, you're still children till you set maturity. 1 John 2:12 through 14. There's children, different levels of children, young men, and then elders. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, verse 13, sorry, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into the angel of light. Who is Satan? Is he an angel? He's a cherub. Ezekiel 28, 14, I think. He's showing himself. What is a cherub? How many faces?
Four.
And he's kind of freaky sounding when you read about it. A bull, an eagle, what else? Cow. No, a cow is bull. A lion and a man. And then he has wheels going forward, back, side. It goes this way. I can't go when I don't have wheels. I don't have four faces. Why does he come as an angel of light? Oh, signs and wonders. Scary, scary. Stranger danger. Let's see what they're teaching here. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, doing good things, whose end will be according to their works. And that's what they want. God will give it to them. Thank God. The only thing you can do is believe. And then you can do, God will help you do some works. And if you're doing them with your own bootstraps, he's going to burn those up. God working through you, you can do something. Do you know how to access that grace? So you can. If you're not accessing that grace, having the fruit of the Spirit come down to empower you, you can do all the works you want. God's going to burn them up if you're saved. And if you're not, if you don't give God the credit, he's going to judge you for your works and toast you. Revelation 20:15. Which is not a kind thing. Let's go to Matthew 24:11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. It's a warning. During this time, what is Matthew 24? This is during the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Beginning. It's a warning of that time. Do we have to worry about that? God's given us the times and the seasons. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. We don't have to worry about that. But it's a warning. They are out there. They're out here today. But they're out there in the future also. Verse 24. One of the things they do. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible. No, even the elect. It's pretty amazing stuff. What are those things? We'll be getting to those in a bit. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2:9. guys beat it up here. The coming of the lawless one, according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Are all signs and wonders by Satan? No. But during the great tribulation, there'll be signs from God and signs from Satan also. We've learned that signs and wonders are not, well, they won't make you believe, really? What are signs and wonders really for? Well, for the unbeliever, it's judgment, brings judgment. For the believer, they're going, that's my God, right? Otherwise, they're still blinded. Without a work from the Father or work from the Holy Spirit, they don't get it. But here, for Satan, when he's doing the signs and wonders, what is he using signs and wonders for? To empower his children. To say, hey, that's my God. Empowering them to hold on to a lie. That's verse 10. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. They didn't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they will believe the lie, and they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That unrighteousness is even those things in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11:15, righteous works from the false Christ and false apostles. Those are things of unrighteousness too, because they didn't believe. Let's look at some of the signs that he did. That would be Revelation 13. Gives us some insight of the future. One of those things, signs that Satan does. There's a lot in that God does during the tribulation. The sign that they believe that he's God, they believe this lie. What was this big grand scheme of this lie? Well, verse 13:12, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and caused the earth, those who dwell in it, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He died, and he was resurrected. That's what it's about there. He performed a great sign, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he had granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. What are they doing? Worshipping another god. And we had the warning, or the Jews had a warning, if you see that, you're supposed to kill them. And they're in the dispensation of law there. I don't think they'd get to him at that time. It's God that takes care of him. But they're called to do that. I don't know what will happen during that time besides that. Okay. Problems of taking signs and wonders for today. You are out of the will of God. We're told in Ephesians 5:17, don't be unwise to the will of God. We're supposed to submit to God's will. And if you're trying to do signs and wonders, are you submitting to God's word? No, you have a problem. Or you could be ignorant 1 Corinthians 12:1. Let's look at that one. We haven't looked at that one. 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And then it starts going into a lot of spiritual gifts of power, tongues and workings of power. And in the early church, God brought that about. So the apostles had that power to spread the gospel. And then he took it away, according to 1 Corinthians 13. You go, no, it's still going today. The question is, in 2 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and right in there, Paul, who had his eyes all distorted, according to Galatians, he couldn't heal himself. And he was the lead apostle. And God said, no, 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 you're going to use grace with yourself. Because it was a reminder to help him keep him humble. Because he had a lot to speak in his flesh. He was one of the people that would have been one of the high priest, I think, or
rabbi.
High rabbi. He did all the law things. He could talk mighty of himself in the flesh. But we don't know God by the flesh anymore. His eyes all distorted. He wrote big, talked about big letters in Galatians. Did God heal him? There was healings. What were those healings for? To save a few of the Jews and tell them there was a change of a new message. The ones that had believed. To transition them to the new and better salvation that we have. Not just to believe it, but to learn the better things that we have in the present tense. To live it out. Are you studying? There's a lot. Read every day and not get everything. Where are we at? On the wrong page. Beware of the teachers that teach law. Beware, beware, beware. Stranger danger. They could be saved ones, ignorant. They could be unsaved ones. And that's stranger danger. Let's go to Galatians 1:6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace from Christ to a different gospel. What's the different gospel? Right below it. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert the gospel of Christ. How would you pervert the gospel of Christ? You would use God's word and change it and say, that's for you, law. Let's point this out. Let's go to John. John 13. So, a little example here. This is for us right here, for our daily living. How much of the Bible isn't? Not very much, is it? Makes it a lot easier to read for me. I don't like reading. You know. I really don't. I listen and I get more out of listening and writing notes than reading. The rest of the Bible, is it for our faith? Yes. It's for our faith to believe, but not practice. There's a lot of good stuff for us. Believing, we're going to be talking about creation. There's some books about the decree. But here's one. Can you do, what is it? The son, you can't, There's the gospel, not the gospel, there's stuff about God. Can you do what God does? Claim it and do it. Claim the verse that's yours and do it. Can you jump to the third heaven right now? Well, yeah, but not like God. Can you die up on a cross and pay for everyone's sins? No, you're not God. But you can have faith that God did it for you. He took the blood up there. And now you don't have to. This blood is still alive and paying for our sins until he gets rid of them. Well, he did get rid of them. It's covered permanently. Misspeak. Oh, man. First Timothy 1:6. From which some, having strayed, having turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. It goes into other stuff. Verse 9, did that. Let's say I do. What happens if you pay attention to that talk? Go to verse 19. Having faith and a good conscience, which have some rejected. What did they do? They listened to these teachers teaching law. They have some rejected concerning the faith. They have suffered a shipwreck. They shipwrecked their faith. Danger, danger. Teaching law. Signs and wonders. Law. Whether they teach the signs and wonders, and some people teach just the Ten Commandments, or they add their own little thing. It's danger, danger. Second Timothy 3:8, you have Jambus and Jamboree. They resisted the truth. They had signs and wonders too. Danger, danger. Just because signs and wonders, not something to follow. Who are they? Exodus 7, you can read that later. Remember that the truth in John 1:17 came from Jesus Christ, grace and truth. 2 Timothy 4, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:4. 4:2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, in good times and in bad times. Convince, showing in scripture, rebuke through scripture, exhort, with all long-suffering, kindness, teaching, not arguing. That's in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 23, 22 through 26. But, for the time will come when they will not endure healthy doctrine. That doctrine we've talked about that before in studies. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. That itching ears is soulish ears. They want to hear soulish teachings, which is the law. They will heap upon themselves many teachers. They like it so much, everyone's following it. Danger, danger. Oh, 2:4-4. Turns away from the truth. Where is that? I have it written down. Verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to these fables, which is the law. They're turning away from the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ. They're wanting to go to Moses. We looked at 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, 18 through 20. At the way of the truth, they blaspheme. They go, that's not the truth. Grace, that's cheap grace. That's what God saved us. Past, present, and future. Thank God. Why is it the future dangerous? Why in the future is it dangerous? Well, we looked at 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, Matthew 24, 5. Well, with Matthew 24, 5, it says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. Well, 2 Corinthians 11, 3, there's a little thing. Who's deceiving? Well, in 2 Corinthians 11, 3, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by the craftiness, so your minds will be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What's the simplicity? All you have to do is believe. Oh no, you got to do more than that. You got work. That's that. I'm trying to complicate things up. God's simple. No, that's foolishness. And that's what the world thinks. It's foolishness. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18 and some other verses in there. Oh, man. We did 2 Corinthians already. They showed signs and wonders. They received not the love of the truth. And they should believe a lie. All what we saw above. Let's go to Revelation 2:9. We're almost done. Thank you, Josh. I had too much. This is the last few chapters for the church. It's talking about the seven churches. And there's two verses here in two verses for two churches. And God is telling them, whoever has an ear, let them hear. What's the warning? Let's go to Revelation 2:9. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Remember in 2 Peter 2, it talks about them blaspheming these false teachers? The truth? This is part of that. It connects. They use sign and wonders. They're saying they're Jews and taking the promises of who? That God gave to the Jews. It's important not to take. It's Bible. But we're supposed to live under law. No, it's grace. It's very little section. You can study that. It's important to know it. How do the counterfeiters, Secret Service, do they study the counterfeit or the true bill? The true bill. If you know the true stuff, you can see counterfeit. Revelation 3:9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not. They've taken their promises given to Jews and saying the Gentiles and saying it's theirs. But they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I loved you. Is that a promise to us? When does that happen? When do they come and worship before our feet? Is it us that they're worshiping? Where is this? The verse. Do you guys any know? It's a promise.
It is Philippians, I believe.
Philippians 2.
God, go with the good stuff here for us. Philippians 2.
Two 9 through 11, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and all those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. When is this? It connects to what verse? When does this happen? When everyone... Huh?
Happens at different times. Depends on when people are standing before
him. Yeah, because there's many judgments, isn't there? But at the end time, you have the judgment of the goats, sheep and goats. In Matthew 25, it talks about, which is at the end of the tribulation. You have the great white throne. And that's, but where, for us, where are we at the great white throne? We're behind Christ. And he's going to, what does it say in 1 Corinthians 6:2? That we get to what? Anyone know? We get to judge who?
And the world.
Why? We're sinners. God glorified us graciously because we don't deserve it. And then because we're his bride, he's going to go. What do you think, Ed? And you're glorified. And you're going to say, I don't know. On that subject, we're going to get, he's going to make us participate in the judgment of the world. Do we deserve that? No. We deserve to be judged. And the angels are watching us right now. That's an amazing thing. The angels who got to see God create, it was just a big sign in itself. He created the earth, the universe. And what did the angels say? Awesome! Wow! That's in Job 39, I think. I'm not sure. I might be 38 something. But they got to see that. But did all of them say God's all powerful? No. A third of them followed Satan. Signs and wonders. Didn't keep them from choosing to want more. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Just a couple more verses and then we'll be done. There's other groups of Christians, and I believe there are Christians that are put themselves under poor teaching. And this is a warning right here. Do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Whether they're being... That curtails a lot of different subjects. Whether they're just hanging out around with their high school buddies, whether they're going to church, whether they're at work. You need to, what? Strengthen your mind in things of Christ.
I still make mistakes with that. Because you tend to want to blend in sometimes. Evil company corrupts good habits. Don't matter if you're a Christian or not. Beware, danger. Beware, beware. Warning, warning. Galatians 1:9. This is part of that setting a curse. Or 1:8 first. Verse 7. Let's go now. Verse 7. Which is another, verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there is some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or another angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let them be accursed. What is accursed? We've been teaching it, or Tim's been teaching it on Sunday afternoon or morning. Put on a shelf. Are you supposed to go? What's that? Putting up on a shelf. What is that? Well, let's, well, not being used, but let's put it. Do you use your friends or you just around them? You just around them. What does it mean to actually put them up on a shelf? Well, let's look at 2 Timothy 2. We're pointed to it. But 2 Timothy. Well, let's not go there first. Let's go to Titus 3:9. Sorry. Titus. We want to go to Titus first. 3:9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, striving about the law. For they are unprofitable and useless. Void of result is the idea there. It says, reject the decisive man after the first and second. You talk to it first, talk about it a second time, and then say, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. And when you're talking about it, you're taking them to Scripture. Because if you don't know the Scripture, it's best just to walk away instead of argue. Because if you're going to argue what you know, if you can't take them to Scripture, you're in trouble. Because it's instead of argument of God with them, it's between you and him. And they become like a stone. So if God's word's going to work, it's going to be God's word, not you. And that's, you got to be spiritual. And then it's up to God, not God's going to work now. It's up to God. Knowing that such a person is warped and is sinning, being self-condemned. They're what? Self-condemned is holding on to something. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2, 22 through 26. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Wait a second. God's word is true. We should guard it in your own mind. You know, study. Knowing that they generate strife. When they generate strife, what are you doing? You're bringing up the flesh. And the person's going, no, I'm going to fight you. I know what I've been taught. God's word. Stick to God's word. 25, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, perhaps, doesn't mean he will, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their soberness. They're drunk. There's a sense of drunkenness
in this belief of the law. They're not clear-minded. You got to realize that. And escape the snare of the devil. They're holding on to the law and going, no, that's for me. And it says, don't argue with them. Till you got to go to Scripture and go, what about this? This is different. Look at that upward call. We have better things. Most of them don't know the law. They don't know. They haven't studied it. Someone's taking stuff out of context and teaching them blasphemy. You got slow going to pull someone out of that. Can't argue with them. Having been taken captive by him to do whose will? This Christian? Or let's say they're Christian. They've been captive to do whose will? Satan's will. If this is a Christian. Could be. Maybe not. I think this would be a Christian here. So, a Christian doing the devil's will. Holding on to the law. Still saved. He'll still be glorified. He'll still get to judge the world. Judge demons. But at this present tense, the law is shipwrecking this guy's faith. And I hope it isn't you. So, so, God must change their heart if they have hold on to the law. To submit to His word. If they're a child of God. But if they're a son of Satan's, they need to hear what? The good news. And stick to that. Don't argue about law. Sometimes we get distracted. They're talking law, and you just want to go talk law. Sometimes they're not even saved. So you got to have... First in line, you go to treat them as Christian because they're talking Bible? Or do you go check if they're even saved first? That's the question you before you even start. Because you got to deal with them different. So, thank you.
And,
thanks, man.
Mm-hmm. Sorry I took so long.
Most important prayer, Father, we're thankful for the evening and the time you've given us together. We're thankful for your plan for us and your word. You want us to be those who walk by faith, not by sight, not having to look for signs and wonders to guarantee that we're on the right track, but that we look at the promises you've given us in your word and thankful for the time that it's taken to point some of these things out to us. And oftentimes it ends up leading us down the path of trying to live by law instead of living by your grace. And we're thankful for the evening and the time together with the saints. Carefully and safely this evening. We're making a change in the way things are going. Josh is going to go on. I already went back and talked to him. Josh is going to go on tomorrow afternoon at 4 in my place. And so that's what we'll do. So tomorrow will be Josh and then Ben in the evening like that. So that's just kind of what? That'll be the change in the schedule. So, okay. So we're not going to cut Josh out. We're going to give him this time tomorrow afternoon.